This is a song I wrote, and it was the only one that's it's about Jesus, how he forgave us. And you know, I don't know how God was able to forgive those that were so mean to him. Sometimes it's kind of hard for us when people are mean to us, and to forgive others, you know, when they do something to us. But I think I have thank God that I have a Heavenly Father, a Jesus, who, as they were crucifying, said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I'm so glad we have a God that knows us, sees through all our meanness sometimes, because we can be kind of snappy and mean sometimes to others. And I pray, God, help me, Lord, to be an instrument used of you so that I could praise your name and have others praise you because of my life.
Wrote that song, and it's an honor of our Heavenly Father, you know. Well, this morning, Resurrection Sunday. And I want to talk to you this morning on the death, the burial, but most important, the resurrection of Jesus. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Well, actually, if you want to turn with me, it's going to be up here for you. But if you want to turn with me to follow, you're more than welcome to. But in this scripture, and I'm only going to read the first two verses to start off with, and from that I'm going to take you through a scenario about his death, his resurrection, and his life in general. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Understand, he'd been with the disciples now for 3 years. And I'm sure during that 3 years he hinted what was going to take place. But now, in his bold statement, he's telling them for a fact, this is what is going to happen. But I want to take you back, and if you will journey with me back in time, we'll get in our time machine right now. I'll flip a button, and we're going to go back in time to the very first Passover. The Israel nation honored and celebrated the Passover for many years, but it had to start somewhere. And while the Israel nation was still in slavery in Egypt, Moses laid out a commandment to them. And he said, "Kill a spotless lamb and put the blood from the lamb and apply it to the sides and the top of your doorpost. And when the death angel that is coming on the 10th of this month, it's coming, and when the death angel approaches, he will pass over those homes where he sees the blood applied, and saving the firstborn. Let's go right now to show the first Passover and the 10th plague."
"And with this last plague, the Lord will break the Pharaoh's conceit and teach us the terrible price of freedom. Mark well now what I say to you. On the 10th day of this month, each family will take a yearling lamb without blemish. You will watch over this lamb until the 14th day of the month, at which time the entire assemblage of Israel will gather. And at twilight on that day, you will slaughter the lamb. Take some of the lamb's blood and put it on the doorposts of your houses. The lamb's blood will be a sign. When the Lord sees the blood, he will pass over you, and you will not be harmed when he strikes the land of Egypt. You will eat of the lamb the same night. It must not be raw or cooked with water, only roasted. And you shall eat it with your clothes on your back and your staff in your hand. You will not take time to leaven your bread. This will be known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you will eat this Passover offering hurriedly. For at midnight, the Lord shall go forth among the Egyptians, and the Lord will punish the gods of Egypt. But the blood on the houses where you are will be a sign. For when he sees the blood, he will pass over you."
Do you understand that first Passover was a tradition for the Israel nation and a celebration for the Israel nation from that time forward? Every year at the time of the Passover, this would take place. Every year they would have a feast of the Passover time. And it says that all the Jews would celebrate the Passover and sacrifice another spotless lamb every year. It was required because their sins would never be gone on a permanent basis. So they had to do this on a regular basis from that time forward. It was instituted by God as a Passover, letting them know their sins were forgiven for that period of time. But every year, they'd have to come back and do it again. But now, let's move forward. Get in your time machine, and let's move forward now to the time of the Passover and the Last Supper of Jesus Christ. This year's Passover would be different. Jesus, who lived a sinless life and a spotless life, would become that perfect lamb. And it would be different. He who came to take away the sins of the world was Jesus. He proclaimed that he would be the sacrifice. He would be the ultimate sacrifice. He would give his life for you and I. And no one could take his life from him. And even death would not be able to hold him down for long. Do you understand that? No one could take his life. He had to give his life. He had the ability at any point in time to say, I am done with you people. I am fed up. I'm out of here. Now that's what a lot of us will say. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Verses 3 through 5 it says, then the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. They didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't understand Jesus was going to give it to them anyway. But they figured, we'll trick him. We'll trick him into being killing him. But they did say this, which is kind of odd. But not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, why would they say that? Now, let me give you kind of a scenario of what's going on here in Jerusalem during that time. This is the Passover feast. This is something they have for 400 years have gone and done every year. It was a tradition. And being a tradition, all of Jerusalem was filled with people. Okay? Probably thousands of people gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. And many were fans of Jesus. Okay? Many were from Galilee, where he was very popular. Many of those had lined the streets just a few days before, singing his praises as he rode into town. So these religious leaders said, let's not cause an uproar. Let's wait until after the Passover, when all these people have gone home. That's what they were thinking. That's what they thought they would do. But I will tell you this morning, you cannot stop the plans of God. Amen? He's still in full control, even when circumstances seem they couldn't be any worse. And God is orchestrating everything according to his plan. And indeed, Jesus is right. He's going to be crucified at Passover in 2 days. And here we see the Passover feast.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying,
take and eat. This is my body.
You notice right what's taking place, the one sitting next to him is Judas. You'll also notice that Judas did not take of the bread.
Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
He is instructing his disciples, and I do believe as he is instructing them, he is instructing you and I about communion. That Passover feast was considered his last supper. It was considered his last supper because he understood and knew where he was going. And he was telling his disciples, do this in what? Say that again. In remembrance of me. Why do we have communion today? We have communion today to celebrate what Jesus has done for you and I. In remembrance of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, but if you notice in that little excerpt movie, Judas was sitting next to Jesus, and Judas did not take of this communion. In fact, it says that he left the feast early. He went to the high priest. He betrayed Jesus. And Jesus was wrongfully accused, judged, and sentenced to death by the cross. Turning with me to chapter 27, it gives the account. Again, the governor said, in verse 21, and I believe it's up there now, thank you. And again, the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you wish for me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they replied, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What has he done that is evil?" But they shouted all the louder, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather that a riot was about to break out, he took water and washed his hands in the presence of the crowd, saying, "I am not guilty of, nor responsible for this righteous man's blood. See to it yourself." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." So he set free for them Barabbas, and he took Jesus, whipped him, and delivered him to be crucified. Jesus now was sent to the cross.
At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, you have shown me your love through the judgment you've received, and you've won my one my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. I trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay
at the foot of the cross. You know, that's where it's all going to start with you and I, is at the foot of the cross. That's where it's got to start. That's not where it ends, but that's where it starts. Jesus was crucified. He was put on the cross. He was put there to die for you and I. And the Gospels say that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now you ought to understand something. After he said these words, he died. But I believe so many people, when they say it is finished, it's a completion of something. Either it's a completion of a bad time, I'm done. But I do believe that when Christ cried out, "It is finished," he was telling the world, he was telling Satan, he was telling you and I won. I have completed my task here on this earth. I won. I have whipped you, Satan. Satan didn't believe that. He thought he got him dead now and he was having a heyday. He didn't realize what Jesus was going to do very soon. That he was going to go right into the pit of hell, right into where Satan was, take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and give them to the disciples so that you and I would have life everlasting. He died. The sky turned black, and the ground shook, and the veil of the holies of holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Opposite of what you and I would think. And as the centurion saw all that took place immediately following Jesus' death, he recognized God and thanked and praised him and said, "Indeed, without a question, this man was the Son of God." I believe he should have commented, "This man is the Son of God." Judas, when he went to the high priest, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Rise again.
Thank you. drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me. The day will come and you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. 'Cause death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mark my name, my love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down.
Church, he promised you and I that he has to go and prepare a place. And if he prepares that place for you and I, he will come back and receive you and I again. It says that the veil was torn, and that veil represents the body of Jesus. His body was broken for us as he died on that cross. As the veil was torn, the holies of holies was exposed, and God's presence has now is now acceptable and accessible to you and I. Jesus' death opened the way for us to come to God by his atoning blood. There is no longer a veil hiding God's presence from us. Although we were sinners, we are now clothed with Christ's righteousness and can enter boldly into God's presence because of the cross of Jesus and because of his mercy for us. Mercy said no. Listen to this song.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize his grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Jesus, mercy said no. Ooh. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. There is still a war that rages and makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. But thank you, Jesus, mercy said no. And now when heaven looks at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day. No, sin will never take control. and darkness tried to steal my heart away. But thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no.
That is so true. It's only by the mercy of God you and I are even here today. This morning, I'm here to say to you that Jesus is not dead. My goodness, he's not dead. Be happy. This is Resurrection Sunday, and Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Matthew and Mark, Luke 24, verses 1 through 8, it gives the account of his resurrection. Here we have some women visiting Jesus' tomb on Easter Sunday. They were already heartbroken. Jesus was dead, they thought, and they were depressed. They were afraid of the Jews. All they really wanted to do was one more thing to honor their Jesus. They wanted to honor him by anointing his body. I don't really believe they figured out how they were going to open the tomb, how they were going to get the big rock off. But they didn't even think of that. They just went to the tomb. But there was something that they noticed when they got close. The door was open. The tomb was there. I believe they ran in, and he wasn't there. And they got worried. They got perplexed. It says in Matthew 24:4, it says, they were perplexed. They were afraid. They were perplexed. They were puzzled. Who took our Jesus? Maybe the Sadducees or the Pharisees took him. Maybe the soldiers took him. Somebody took Jesus. And all we wanted to do was honor him. And they took him. And in the midst of all the frustration and the puzzlement that they were going through, all of a sudden, some angels appeared to them. And the angels had to remind them what Jesus had already said. And they said, don't you realize? Don't you remember that he said the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified? But here's the clincher. But on that third day, rise again. See, they picked up on it finally. That third day, rise again. And then they remembered. They remembered Christ's words. They remembered what Jesus said. What do you think they remembered? Well, here's Jerry's point of view of what I think they remembered. They remembered, first of all, that God has a plan for our lives. Come on, church. God has a plan for our lives. There's lots of people, and I meet them every day, that can't make sense of life and feel like, what is this life all about? What's the point? And why am I even here? I hear it all the time. Why am I here? What's the point? What's the point in this life? But I am here to tell you, if they would just remember what Jesus says to you and I, when we accept Christ as our Savior, he begins to reveal his plan for our lives. When they remembered what Jesus said to them, things made sense, finally. They realized this was the plan. Jesus had to die and then rise from the dead. God has a plan. He is working out in all of our lives. Easter enables us to see that life has a point to it. That God is there and we can know Him. God has a great plan for you and I. He has a plan for your life. Never think that you're just here, but you're here for a purpose. You're here because God wants you here. You're here because God has a plan for you and your life. Hallelujah. Do you realize that? And that there is no more to life, and there is so much more to life than death. Death is not the end. Jesus is not dead. I also believe that they remembered that you can handle anything with Jesus. Anything. When we face problems, we sometimes get to the point when we think, help! I can't cope anymore. I can't do this anymore. Help! And we cry out. Once I believe those ladies realized Jesus was alive, they were no longer afraid. Jesus would be with them. There was nothing they couldn't do or now face or handle because Jesus. When Jesus is with you, you can say, I can do all things through who? I'm going to say that again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is that telling you? That no matter how weak you are, no matter what you are going through, no matter what things might come your way, no matter what the devil might throw at you, you can do all things through Christ because He gives you the strength. He gives you the ability. Jesus is there to help us every step of the way. Knowing He's there, He's alive, makes all the difference in the world. All the difference. When you have the Lord on your side, it doesn't make a difference what you go through. And they realized that finally. They ran back to the disciples excited. Jesus is alive. Guess what? Those ladies were our first evangelists. Never say that women don't have a place in the evangelistic world or in the world of preaching. They do. They do. I also believe that they remembered to follow Jesus because He knows what to do. Right? Sometimes in life we might get to the point where we simply don't know which way to go, which way to turn, where to go. We have no direction. We have no purpose. There's a saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Come on. If you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there. Who has ever been on a journey in a car and got lost? What do? You ask your wife for directions. Come on, man. Man up. I'll never ask my wife. I don't care how lost we'll get. I'll find the way. No, I'm sorry. You're going to have to ask someone. Has anybody ever taken a shortcut? Turned out to be a long cut? Uh-huh. See, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to ask for directions. You need someone to help you. And that's what Easter is all about. Jesus knows what we need to do and will give us directions. If you imagine life as a car journey, He'll get in the car with us and show us the way. He becomes your GPS. He tells you where to go and how to get there. Hallelujah. You need Him, church. You do. So these women now knew what to do. Do what He said. And that's what we need to do. Direction comes when we trust in Jesus and we learn to follow Him all the way. Easter means we are not lost. We have a purposeful life to live. We are headed in the right direction as we are following Jesus. That's the answer to the question. We have to learn to follow Jesus. We have to learn it's not our will, but it's His will. He knows what He's doing. He knows how to lead you in the right direction. He knows what road to take down. He knows what road that you're not to take. And He'll always lead you on the right path. And we will be part of an unshakable kingdom that God has prepared for us. And I love this song that Rhonda's going to sing today. It's called The Unshakable Kingdom. And I tell you this morning, every one of you, you're part of that unshakable kingdom. Look around us. Look at the world today. Look at the society today. What is happening? This world is being shaken to and fro, up and down. And there is no possibility of even knowing what's going on in our world. Look at our politicians. Look at our government. Look at what's going on. Rhonda, there's only one kingdom that we have that's unshakable, and that's God's kingdom.
Dying for those who died,
we still have the glass here. You wonder how. Oh my goodness. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's the only kingdom that's unshakable. Everything else around you will shake. Yes, I do believe and understand historical figures will tell you that Jesus died. Yes, he did. History proclaims that. What history doesn't want to proclaim is that Jesus arose and that Jesus is alive. He is alive forevermore. He is alive inside you and I. He is alive to teach you and to talk to you and to help you understand and help you remember. Help you remember that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for every one of your lives. He has a plan. When we accept the Lord as our Savior and follow His plan and not ours, He'll see you through. We can handle anything with Jesus. No matter what you go through, Jesus is there to help you through it. He's not going to take you out of it, but He'll help you through it. Hallelujah. If we learn to follow Him, He knows the way. Many times we don't know the way. I have been in questions and saying, okay, Lord, where are you taking me? You know, if I were to do it myself, I'd make a total, and I have made messes of it. Ask my wife, she'll confirm to you that when I do it on my own, I make a mess. But when I finally give it over to the Lord and put my trust in Jesus, He will lead you home. He'll lead you to where you need to go. And the final destination I believe that He will lead you is to heaven and to eternity. Amen? Give Him a hand. This morning, bow your heads as we close. No one looking around. I believe God now is talking to your hearts. God now, Jesus Himself that lives here, that is hovering into every pew right now. The Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. And I believe without a doubt that if you will accept Him and follow Him, He'll lead you to places you never thought were possible. He'll guide your direction to things that are impossible. And I ask you this morning, how many of you this morning want Jesus to lead your way? Woo! I mean, every hand should go up this morning. If you want Jesus to lead your way, then I believe it's appropriate for us as a body of believers to say the sinner's prayer this morning. Once I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. Once I was lost, but now I'm fine. Once I was blind, but now I see. Say this prayer with me this morning. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, I was lost.
Yes, I was lost.
Yes, I was a sinner.
Yes, I was a sinner.
Yes, I am a sinner.
Yes, I am a sinner.
I call upon You.
I call upon You.
What You did at the cross.
What You did at the cross.
Was for me.
Was for me.
Where You are now. At the right hand of God.
At the right hand of God.
You make intercession.
You make intercession.
For this old soul.
For this old soul.
For this old sinner.
This is a sinner.
Lord, forgive me.
Lord, forgive me.
Of my sins.
Of my sins.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To live for You.
To live for You.
Abide in me.
Abide in me.
And let me follow You.
And let me follow You.
Wherever.
Wherever.
You lead me.
You lead me.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Say it with me.
At
thank
the
You,
cross,
Lord.
At the cross,
where I first saw the light. And the of my heart rolled away. It was there I received my sight.
this life away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sharon's going to close us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, dear God, that we could celebrate your life, dear God, that you arose and that you live within our hearts, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless each one that's here. Dear Lord, give them a new commitment, a new desire to do more for you, Lord, because you're going to return. And Lord, let us not have empty hands, but Lord, let us lift them to you and lift others to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.